disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called unto them, come and dine. And there they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time.
Came to do tonight? You here to come and dine? God bless you. Let's stand. This is 320 in your hymn book. Amen. It's good to be in church tonight.
Oh, yes, I'll live in glory. Oh, by and by. Well, I'll tell and sing life's story. There on as fervently I pray, as day by day.
looking forward to it.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be together again to worship the Lord and just come with expectations of what the Lord has for us tonight. And got a testimony that we want to share from Brother Furman and Sister April. And a thank you as well. It says, testimony and thank you for tonight. Recently in therapy, Ethan was able to grasp a small plastic hammer with his left hand in a manner that he has never been able to up to this point. We would like to thank God for his continued improvement. Thank you all for your prayers and support over the time that Ethan had his surgery. Thank you all for the meals and for each one that helped watch the other children. We feel blessed to worship with such a wonderful and loving people. God bless you, Brother Furman and Sister April. Amen. God's good, isn't he?
Amen. Amen.
Glad to hear that testimony of what the Lord's doing. Just expecting a continued healing for him. And we got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord tonight. We'll remember Noah and Carter and Lily Bird. They're all not feeling well this evening, so I want to remember them in prayer. Also, Sister Layton, she's had some nausea and dizziness, so I want to remember her in prayer. And Brother Morse texted me a little bit before service and said he wasn't going to be able to make it tonight. He was short-winded this week, and the heart doctor says that there's no blockage, but they've scheduled him for an echo test at 8 a.m. Tomorrow in Danville. So I want to remember that situation in prayer, that the Lord just move on the scene. Everything will be okay there. And then also Sister Tina's nephew, Jared, we want to continue to remember him in prayer, as the doctors think he has bacterial meningitis, but we know that we serve a God that healeth all our diseases.
Amen.
Amen. Good to have the Soderquist family back with us, and he is traveling to visit his family there in South Dakota for a few weeks, but I'm going to ask Brother Stephen if he'd come and just lead us in a word of prayer tonight over these requests.
God bless you, saints. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, Lord, how thankful we are for the little things, Lord. Lord, it might seem little to some, but for the Stutzman family, that testimony, grasping the hammer, that's progress. It's a step forward, Lord, and I appreciate how we can learn from the Stutzmans, how they're hanging strong. Lord, they love an instant miracle, but Lord, their faith is not wavering, and they're believing each step of the way, and we know someday, Lord, that we'll see the complete restoration, and we're thankful for it. We're just claiming it. Lord, now we have requests. Sister Layton is sick, and the bird boys are sick, and ones are facing difficulties and trials and sickness, Lord, and we just lift these up to you, Lord. We have no strength in ourselves to be able to do anything about this, Lord, but we have an advocate on our behalf, Lord, and we just bring these requests to you in faith, believing, Lord, as a Christian, it's not that we're happy in our trials, Lord, but we're happy knowing that you've done things before to deliver us, and so we have faith that you'll do it again, Lord. Lord, now as believers, we're so thankful to be gathered into this house to have a place to go. Lord, I don't think we realize how blessed we are to have this church and to have these believers that you've put us with. And Lord, tonight we don't want to waste this opportunity, but we want to come with open hearts for whatever you'd have for us, Lord. We invite you to come and move through the word and through the worship, Lord. We'll lift our hands and our hearts to worship you and to thank you for all that you've done for us. I pray that you'd strengthen Brother Nathan and Brother Morris, as he's been sick also, Lord. Just strengthen them, Lord. They're fighting battles against the devil, and Satan would like to do things and cause problems. And we just pray, Lord, that they'd be able to stand strong and hold up the banner of your word, Lord. We just pray that you be in this service, and we thank you for all this, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. This time we have a special from Brother Arnie and Sister Alice Bird.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and with the family of God. It just struck me a moment ago that we're not here today because We love him. We're here today because he loved us. That's what grace is, and it's not what we can do, it's what he's already done. So I'm grateful for that. Appreciate the Lord helping us during the bad times and keeping us on level ground during the good times. Amen. This song that we're going to share with you is called Manifesting Time. And we're certainly seeing that happen in the world today. The bride of Christ is being manifested, and Satan's bride is manifesting also. Amen. And it's amazing to see what God's doing with his people. And it's amazing to see what the enemy's doing with his people also. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So as God's bride is manifested, the enemy's bride is manifested also. But I like to change the spelling on that word manifest to M-A-N-N-A, fest. The bride is having a manifest. Amen. The world is dying a slow death, but within the body of Christ, we're having a continual feast. And I like that they sing, "Come and dine" at the beginning of the service. And he's the one who placed the hunger, and he's the one that places the thirst in us. We don't whip that up. You can't sing it down. You can't whip it up. God gives it to you. That's what grace is. We didn't go looking for him. He came looking for us. I love that. God gets all the glory, and that simplifies everything right there. You just lay everything at his feet. You don't have to divide anything up. Grace is 100% God and 0% Arnie or anyone else. So I love him tonight, and I appreciate all the people here. Brother Nathan's been a great friend to my family and all of you, of course, to pray for us. We will share this. It's a little hard for us to sing this song, but I really love the message. It's from the Song of Solomon, and it's about a real love story. Amen.
The voice of my beloved, behold, he quickly comes, sweeping o'er the mountains, over the hills he runs. I long to hear his voice, I long to hear him say, time. The fruits are on the vine, and the lovely one is coming in plain view to have God's chosen bride. Redemption draweth nigh. He's that lovely one. He's coming in plain view in the cleft of the rock. See?
bless you. Sure appreciate Brother Arnie and Sister Alice and their stand for the word. Sure appreciate that Manifest in Time song. I've been wanting to sing that for a long time. Didn't really know the melody. They sure did a nice job. That was a blessing. God bless you.
Counts the stars one and all, knows how much sand is on the shore. Oh, He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. Oh, He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day, but I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know.
Thankful of that tonight. Amen. That He knows your name.
Amen. God bless you richly tonight. Let's turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 3, and let's look at verse 15 tonight. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, as we come before your throne again tonight, Lord, how truly we need knowledge and understanding, Father. Lord, we recognize it's one thing to have knowledge, but without understanding, Lord, what good would it do us? But Lord, we thank you for revelation tonight. And just ask that you would come down in our midst, Lord. Do something supernatural, Lord, as only you can do, Father. And Lord, may you just take complete control of every aspect of the service. Thank you for the songs that we've heard. Thank you for, Lord, your presence that's here to meet with us, Father. For you promise that wherever two or three were gathered in your name, that you'd be in our midst, Father. Just ask you to help me to get myself out of the way, Lord, and so that you could use me in some way to be a benefit to your people. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. I was reading that in Jeremiah there. I was reminded of Nehemiah there, how he told the people, and when he had Ezra come and read the scrolls, that the book of Nehemiah says that Ezra, when him and the priests got up and read the scrolls, they didn't just read the word, just give them the knowledge, but they also gave the understanding of the word. So we recognize this one thing to have knowledge and another thing to have understanding. Knowledge can sit on your bookshelf in a dictionary or in a Bible or in a message book or whatever it would be, but to truly understand it takes revelation. Brother Bram teaches us as the church age book there that even to be able to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and also the Apostle John there telling us to even be able to understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, it takes the Holy Spirit to give us revelation. Now, you can be taught that by knowledge. Somebody can come along and teach you and say, well, this is how it is. And by knowledge, you can understand, but it's just an intellectual conception. But for you to truly be able to say that or any other revelation of the scripture, it takes an understanding of what that knowledge is. And so the Bible telling us here that God would send pastors that would feed us, not just knowledge, not just word, but understanding as well, a revelation to bring it together. And Brother Branham talks about many times, we've heard him over the years, he gives slightly different expressions of it, but he'll talk about how that when you go into a church, he said, watch the pastor. And he said, if the pastor shakes his head a certain way, he said, the church will shake their head a certain way. If the pastor is very animated, made it or very emotional, usually the people will be that way. If he's very intellectual or dry or whatever it would be, fundamental, usually the congregation will pick up that spirit somewhat. And usually we take that in a negative context of, well, you know, if they're a bunch of just a wildfire or something like that, then if the pastor's like that, the people will be like that. But he also makes this statement in God Keeps His Word in 1957. He says, you get into a place where a pastor, a solid gospel teacher, all hell will never move that church. So we recognize that if to have, you know, maybe a pastor that leans a certain way, maybe the church will lean that certain way as well, whether they lean up in the left field or right field or whatever field it would be. But when you can get a pastor that's a solid gospel teacher, he said, all hell will never move that church. How is it? It's because it's on the right foundation. Amen. When something's on the right foundation, you build something and the foundation is sand or sticks or straw or whatever it would be. When the winds come, it's going to brush it away. But when it's on a solid foundation, it'll stand the tests of time. It'll stand the tests of winds, of doctrines or movements or popularity or whatever it would be if it's founded on the Word. So Brother Bannon begins to teach us again in Questions and Answers Part 3, 1964. He said, see, if the pastor is real starchy and stiff, the people will be the same way. If you go into where it's wild and fanaticism, the people will be the same way. So, brethren, we ought to be thankful here in the tabernacle tonight for a pastor that's sane, sensible, and preaches the gospel simple, full, free, and in its power. Yes, sir. Now, he's speaking of Brother Neville. And the last few days, I was telling Brother Trevor this week, I've read over 900 and something quotes of each time Brother Branham mentions the word Neville or Nevilles or Brother Neville, Sister Neville, the Nevilles, the Neville Trio, whatever it be. Every time he mentions the word Neville, I've read through those quotes this week, and I'm not going to read all 903 of them to you tonight. But I had narrowed it down, kind of the some of the things that Brother Branham said about Brother Neville's ministry and about him preaching and about him reading the scriptures there at the church and just a few of the different things about Brother Neville prophesying, some of the prophecies that he gave. One place there Brother Branham's talking about, Brother Neville had called Brother Branham on the phone. He said there's going to be a man that's going to come, and the doctors have given him up. Alcoholics Anonymous has given him up. And yet, within a few days, he's going to be completely sober and be free of the thing. Brother Neville prophesies this to Brother Branham on the phone, and Brother Branham tells the church about it, and then he comes around a few weeks later, a few months later, I guess, and he says it's been 76 days that this man had been sober that Brother Neville prophesied about. So, many wonderful things that he said about him, but I narrowed it down to about 25 pages of quotes, and we're not going to read all those tonight either, but I do have a little bit more on my pitchfork than normal, so a little bit more hay, so we'll try to hurry through this. If we don't make it through it tonight, we'll pick it up maybe next Wednesday night with the help of the Lord. But in looking at pastors and in this line of thought that we've been on for the last few weeks, I thought it would behoove us to look at things, because I believe that Brother Branham left us an example. Now, we had an example in the Word, in the Scriptures. Brother Branham teaches us, and St. Paul comes along and tells us that even the Old Testament, he said these things, Gideon and Jephthah and David and Barak and all those, he said they were given unto you for examples, an example of what to do and what not to do, and things, situations that would take place, and characters and personalities that would rise up, and spirits, and how to deal with that and handle that. So I believe we can look into the Scriptures for those things, but I also believe in this age that God sent us a prophet for a purpose, and not just so that we could say, hey, look what a great something that we are because we had a prophet, but to restore us back to the original word that was brought on the day of Pentecost, and to set an example before us of how we should act, how a church should be ran. And you know, I think the brother here recently, you know, said that COD, you know, for the young people playing video games and things, he said that COD doesn't stand for Call of Duty, it stands for Conduct Order Doctrine. So when we look at these things, we recognize that a prophet of God came in this age, and he set things in order, and he ran his church a certain way. And if we're not careful, we'll pick out two or three of our favorite quotes and we'll say, well, this is how I believe it should be. But I think we should be able to take a look back and look at what all of the Word says, not just one or two places here or there, but to be able to look and find a balance of how the true church of God should really be ran. And I want to look at not only just Brother Branham's position, Brother Neville's position, some of these things, but just how they even interacted with one another. You can just tell the way you go back and you listen to tapes and you hear Brother Branham speak of Brother Neville, and Brother Neville come to the platform and to the microphone and begin to speak of Brother Branham, and you can tell that it's not a put on, it's not a political, I'll pat your back if you'll pat mine, but these two men genuinely had love and respect for one another, and it expresses itself in their words towards each other, and they had a mutual respect of each other, that they wanted God's will for the church, not an agenda, not a personality, not something that they were trying to promote themselves, but they wanted God's will for the church, not just for a time or a season, but for every service that they approached. You can see the way these men interacted, being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I believe if we can emulate that or replicate that, as I believe that we have been able to by the grace of God over the years, the different minister brothers, how we've interacted and things like that, I believe God will continue to bless it, because if you see a lot of churches, many times when you begin to get a group of ministers together, sometimes one minister brother will have a slightly different opinion than the other, and if you're not careful, those edges will become rougher and rougher and rougher, and then you'll have one brother talking about another brother, well, he doesn't see this the way that I do, and it just begins into a mess. And what is it? It's a jealous spirit that creeps in. We've seen it all over the world. We've seen it different churches, church splits and different things, because ministers with jealousy. But I thank God for a group of brothers tonight
tonight that God has blessed us with, and I don't feel like there's 1 ounce of jealousy in the whole amongst of us, the whole group of us, that each brother, the desire is for the will of God for the church, the will of God for their ministry and their position, their place. They want to step up and help anywhere that they can, but they don't want to be out of the will of God or out of the place of God. And I believe that's why we've had the success that we've had, where you look around other places many times and it hasn't been that way. And if you begin to trace it back, many times you find it's because somebody got jealous somewhere. The pastor got jealous, or the missionary got jealous, or the evangelist or the teacher. Somebody got jealous and it began to cause a rift. Now, Satan will try to do that, but we have a standard that we raise up against him of the Word of God. So we want to look into some of these examples tonight. Now, as the eagle stirreth up her nest, 1960, Brother Bam says, oh, I like to have sheep food, good food, the power of God, the Word of God, the Holy Ghost feeds on it. That's what the church needs tonight, is good, solid gospel preaching, gospel teaching, gospel salvation, and a gospel Holy Ghost. Amen. This is what he said sheep's food was. Now, I know there's others, you know, that'll come and they'll try to narrow it down to a smaller box than that. And they'll say, well, just my pastor has sheep food, or only the tapes are sheep food, or only this, that, or the other is sheep food. But I want to look at what Brother Branham taught us, not what somebody's opinion is, no matter how nice or how sweet their opinion is. We're to take things back to the Word. He didn't teach me to say, teach what Brother so-and-so's opinion is, or teach what your own opinion is. He told me to say what the tapes say. So we want to look into it again tonight. He said that's what the church needs tonight, is good, solid gospel preaching, gospel teaching, gospel salvation, and a gospel Holy Ghost. Now, in the seventh seal, many of you maybe heard this quote before, maybe you've been beat over the head with it a little bit, but seventh seal, 1963, Brother Bram's praying for Brother Neville, and he says, I pray that you'll help our dear pastor, Brother Neville. Make him, Lord, full of grace and full of power and with understanding, that he might take this stored food and feed the lambs of God. Amen. I believe that. Amen. Brother Branham said that. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. Now, I've had brothers write me, and they've made little notes to the side of the quote, only tapes to be played. But unfortunately, Brother Branham didn't say that. If Brother Branham had said that, then I could amen their little side of the quote statements that they write in. But I find when we go to the scripture said that he that addeth or taketh away, that his name will be taken away from the book of life. Or he that addeth, the words that he adds will be added, the curses that are in that book. So we don't want to add to or take away. We want to take all that he said. So we recognize that Brother Branham says this. He's praying. He said, may he take this stored up food and feed the lambs of God. Now, I recognize around the message there's some brothers that absolutely make fun of playing tapes in church, and it makes them uncomfortable, and they'll afraid some visitor will come in and they'll think we're crazy because we're listening to the tape of a man that died 50 something years ago. But you know, I don't really care what anybody thinks. I care about what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. Amen. And so if the Holy Spirit leads me to play a tape, I don't care if it's your great-great-grandmother and she doesn't understand, or if it's some bum off the street or a drunk or a Church of Christ or whatever it is that slips in. If they think we're crazy because of listening to that, then they need to go home and burn their Bibles. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't go home and say Brother Nathan is telling people to burn their Bibles. I said, if they come in and think that we're crazy for listening to the words of a prophet from 50 years ago, then they need to go home and burn their Bibles, because it's hypocritical for them to say we're crazy to listen to a prophet from 50 years ago when they'll go back and read the words of prophets from 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, and 5,000 years ago. Amen. I don't feel like we're crazy. Amen. Now, maybe that some people might think that we're crazy, but, you know, as Brother Bram said, if I am, just leave me alone. I'm happier this way than I was the way that I was before. Amen. Now, but when it comes to playing tapes in the church, once again, we want to look to the message and see what Brother Branham said. Now, if you go and you search tape services, Brother Branham says that a whole lot 4 times in the message. 4 times, tape services. As far as I know, there's only two times that Brother Branham actually mentioned tape services happening at the tabernacle while he was alive. Now, you can get quiet with me or you can preach with me, but if you know something that I don't, go and search me out and prove me wrong. But there's only two times that I know of that he talked about there actually being a tape service in the tabernacle. Once is in the Church Age series. Brother Neville was there. Brother Branham was there. There were different ministers that were there, but Brother Branham was studying for the histories and things of the church ages, and there were hundreds of people that had came in town with anticipation for these meetings. And Brother Branham gets up in the, I believe it's the Sardesian church age, if I'm pronouncing that wrong, you forgive me. He said, now they just passed me a note, Brother Leo and Brother Gene here passed me a note and said to announce that there's going to be a tape service in this afternoon. He said at 2 o'clock, he said, if there's anybody that wants to come in here, it'll be one of the tape services that you never heard before, recorded out in the field or wherever it was, and they were going to play this tape at the church while Brother Branham was alive with other live ministers there for the people in the congregation. I know a lot of preachers don't like that, but that's what he said. Now he goes over into the church or into the seals, and he gets up one night during the seals. And he said, now, Brother Roy Roberson was the only one that had a recorder there at the Sam Houston Coliseum. And he said, Brother Roy had it was an old wire recorder, and he said it was one of those old wire recordings. And he said, I want to see if he can get that and get it transferred over onto a tape, and I hope he'll bring it and play it to you after the meetings. So they did have tape services at the tabernacle while Brother Branham was alive. But of all the times that he talks of Brother Neville preaching and himself preaching, Brother Crace, Brother Collins, Brother Capps, on and on and on, all these brothers that preached at the tabernacle, that's the only two times that we know for sure that there were tapes played in the services while Brother Branham was alive. Now, you may have eyewitnesses, or you may have so-and-so said whatever, and that may be all right, but I'm talking about on the tapes when Brother Branham refers to it two times. Don't get scared tonight. I'm not going to stop playing tapes at the church. I'm just trying to show a balance here of how it was at the tabernacle when Brother Branham was alive. The Unpardonable Sin, 1954. Bless our dear Brother Neville. We pray that you'll keep him humble, Lord. Now, you've heard the other quote, I'm sure, where he prayed and asked God to let Brother Neville play the or feed the sheep from the stored up food, but you may not have heard this one. Unpardonable Sin, 1954. Bless our dear Brother Neville. We pray that you'll keep him humble, Lord, and give him those wonderful, powerful sermons and teachings that he's been giving to the church, knowing that it's the sane, sensible, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. You mean he would get up and pray and ask God to keep giving Brother Neville sermons to preach to the people? It's what he did. Somebody said, oh, he just did that to be nice. Well, I've got about 25 pages, if you want to read all of them, where he was nice a lot. If he was just being nice, he did it a whole lot and wasted a whole lot of valuable tape time that he could have told us about other more spiritual, mysterious, deeper things than just being nice. Questions and Answers on Genesis, 1953. Before there was a foundation of the world, God knew Orman Neville and knew that he'd preach the gospel. He doesn't say, isn't that terrible? He says, isn't that wonderful? Questions and Answers on Genesis. Again, I'm a preacher and he's a preacher. Brother Neville's a preacher, but that's our duties to be a preacher. Well, that's just what we're supposed to do. Why? Because God had called and placed those men. He said God knew before the foundation of the world what Orman Neville would be. And Brother Branham said it was wonderful. He said that's what God chose him to do, elected him to do, predestinated him to do. Each one of us, don't let that stop with Brother Neville. Don't let it stop with Brother Branham or the other brother that he was referring to. You there. Each one of you, God knew what you would be. He knew what you were going to be before you even knew. Or maybe you still don't know. Maybe you're still seeking and praying and ask God, place me somewhere in the body, Lord. But God knows what that'll be. Amen. He knows what his perfect will is for you tonight. He has a place for every one of us. Now, if we're not careful, we'll run off on one limb or the other. And some people run off on the prophet limb and they say, well, Brother Branham did it all and I can't do anything. And they sit down and quit. And then other people, they say, oh no, that was back, 50 years ago. It's my pastor now. And they'll lean on their pastor, whatever state or city or country that he's from. And they'll put it all on the pastor. Oh, look at Brother Nathan. Look what he's doing. Look at this. Look Look at that one. Look at this one over here. What great men of God they're doing. They're doing so much, and they're under the leading of the Holy Spirit. I'll just sit down and get behind them, and that'll be my part. No, that's not what he called us to do. Although God wants you to get behind your pastor and support your church and do all that, but that's not all that God called you to do. Amen. I believe in paying tithes. I recognize there's some people that don't, but I believe in doing it. Even from my salary that I get from the church, I take and pay tithes on that to other minister brothers, however the Lord leads me. But I believe in paying tithes, but God did not just call me to pay tithes. Amen. I believe in singing the songs of Zion, but God did not just call me to be a singer. I believe in testifying. God didn't just call me to be a testifier. Maybe some of you sisters, God called you to be a housewife, and my, you found you a good husband. You had your house of kids, and God's, you know, leading you in that pathway, in that channel. But don't just stop there and think, well, that's just all there is for me to do. He wants you to be a witness. He wants you to be an example. There's more for you that God wants you to do. So don't just get stagnant and say, well, I'll just pick my favorite thing that I think God will want me to do, and I'll just abide there in my calling. It's good to abide in your calling. It's good to do all these individual things, but what is God calling you to do on a daily basis? Amen. Sometimes it's not always the same thing. You know, we forget the little things sometimes. Sometimes you brothers, God wants you to go out and cut the grass, and that's what he's called you to do for that day, so that the neighbors don't think that you're crazy. Because you're so busy with everything else that you've let the grass go up 4 feet in the air. And they think that guy is just a nut. Amen. He wants us to set the right kind of example before people. Some of you sisters, some days the will of God is for you to wash your children's clothes so they don't have to go to school or to church or all these other places like a dirty ragamuffin or something. And, you know, that God wants you to do those things. But that's not all that God called you to do. Amen. God wants us to come up a little higher. Do something for the Lord. Amen. But many, if we're not careful, we try so hard and we're going to be a missionary. Bless God, I'm going to go witness to the brothers in India and I'm going to take the word there. Brother Bram said, have you told the next door neighbor about it yet? Have you told the mailman? Have you told this one or that one? Amen. Sometimes God's calling us to do more and we just get complacent. Hearing, receiving, and acting, 1960. You know, I just love to sit and mince and eat and mince and eat when I'm at the table. And when at the Lord's table, I like to stay a long time. Now, I thought I'd read this quote tonight because, as I said, I got a little bit more on my plate than normal. So I thought this would just fit in so good. When I'm at the Lord's table, I like to stay a long time. Our pastor the other night preached about 45 minutes. I see him look up at the clock and I think, yeah, Brother Neville, you're getting into it also. See, 45 minutes, that's not long enough to get started. Oh, my. We should have he's just getting interesting. I was just getting stirred up to a place where I was feeling pretty good. You know, then he cut it off. What a shame. Amen. Now, I know a lot of people use that 30 to 45 minute quote on me all the time, but I've got one I'm going to start using on them. He cut it off at 45 minutes. What a shame. Amen. Let's take all that he said, all right? Amen. I know he said you can wear the people out, and he would say, you know, now these 3-hour services and stuff, and he, you know, and then he turned around and preached 3 hours and 45 minutes. He said, but I'm making tapes, you know, trying to lay it in. So some of the brothers, I've heard them, you know, when brothers give them grief and things, they say, well, I'm recording it. I'm making a tape. So it was okay for me to go over my 45 minutes. But amen, I believe it's good to have a pattern, but I also believe it's good to be flexible to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some nights we have 30 minutes. Some nights we have an hour. Some nights an hour and 15 minutes, whatever it be. However the Lord leads is what I want. Is that all right? Amen. The impersonation of Christianity, 1957. And how many heard the broadcast yesterday? I'm an old veteran preacher, over 20 years old, and I heard lots of sermons, but I believe I heard one of the most appropriate sermons for the day that we're living. I heard it yesterday by our pastor, Brother Neville. You who missed that, missed a great treasure that was dearly in my heart. He didn't have to say this. Nobody asked him to say it. He wasn't, no, but none of the deacons was standing there with a gun to his back forcing him to say it. What was it? If you think that Brother Bram just made this stuff up to be nice, then what kind of a man are we following? Then, you know, then if we're going to believe that, then we can just pick anything that we don't like and say, well, he was just saying that to be nice, or we don't agree with that or whatever. But if we're going to take what he said, let's take all that he said. Amen. Conferences with God, 1959. I've sat back there and I've heard preachers all over the world preach. But sometimes he preaches things that just astounds me. I tell you, he just carries you off in those little things that he uses that I tell you. Every time I come, I get about 15 texts out of his sermon when I come writing it down, going home. Oh my, wouldn't that make a message? Oh my, wouldn't that make a message? And just write it down. So come around and hear our brother Neville and associate with our people. Amen. I wonder how many, when we get over to eternity, I wonder how many sermons that Brother Brams will find that, oh my, that sermon just touched me so much and it helped me so much through my dark trial I was going through. And he'll say, you know, I was sitting when Brother Neville preached so-and-so and the Lord gave me inspiration from something he was saying and I wrote that down. You say, oh, you're crazy, Brother Nathan. No, I'm just saying what he said. Church Order 1963. Now, I watched Brother Neville last night when he preached. Now, I know we all, that was a startling message. I took notes of him, got here in my pocket to use it in other messages of my own. That's right. The Way of Escape, see, and that was a marvelous message. Again, Restoration of the Bride Tree, 1962. Now, after Brother Neville preached this morning that notable message, now, wait a minute. I thought only Brother Branham was allowed to preach Sunday mornings. The problem is somebody forgot to tell Brother Branham that, apparently. Now, after Brother Neville preached this morning that notable message, at the last thing he said on his last thoughts was to be restored. And so that gave me the idea right here to restore. Now, I rushed home and got my dictionary and so forth and some scripture notes and began to copy some things down. And then I got Webster's dictionary to find out the right definition for restore. You mean the restoration of the bride tree? One of the messages that, I mean, you talk about talking about the bride and what we are and where we came from. He got it sitting listening to Brother Neville talking. Brother Neville mentions this word restore. And he says, now, wait a minute. I can just, you know, I'm just dramatizing now. I don't have thus saith the Lord that this is what it was. But I can see Brother Neville, Brother Bram with these thoughts fresh in his mind and these handwritten notes in his hand. He's trying to get out to the car in the station wagon and 573 people trying to shake his hand. He said, God bless you. God bless you. I got to get home. Excuse me. God bless you. No blue board today. I got to get to the house. And he gets home, shuts the station wagon door, rushes off as fast as the speed limit will allow him, slams the door at Ewing, and he gets out and he walks up the cobblestones there, and he opens up the screen door and walks in. He sits down and he grabs a hold of that Webster's dictionary. He says, restore, R-E-S-T. Oh, my goodness. And he preaches a masterpiece from it. Amen. All I know is to say thank God for Brother Neville. Amen. Satan's Eden, 1965. This morning, I wanted to hear Brother Neville myself. There he is again. Brother Neville preaching on a Sunday morning. How selfish of that brother. This morning, I wanted to hear Brother Neville myself. And I heard him many times and never heard him any time but what I appreciated him. But this morning, that timely message, I know I had the leading of the Lord to listen to that this morning. Very fine. Now, if he's just being nice, then he's treading in dangerous territory because he said it was the Lord that led him. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know about, you know, anybody else. But as far as for me and as far as everything I can tell about Brother Branham from all the years that I've read his sermons, he would be very careful if he said the Lord led him to do something if the Lord didn't lead him to do something. So I believe it was the leading of the Lord that led him to listen to Brother Neville that morning. And I see why you people like to come and listen to him also. And he'll always do you good, I'm sure, to listen to him. Again, The Rejected King, 1960. Now, most of us here that have been in the message any amount of time at all knows about the story of Brother Branham going beyond the curtain of time and how that he was laying there with his hands behind his head on the bed and how he began to think about that song, Lord, let me look past the curtain of time and the whole story. But how many knows what Brother Branham was thinking before that song began to come to his mind, Lord, let me look past the curtain of time? He tells us in The Rejected King. Now, this was... he preaches The Rejected King on May the 15th, 1960, that morning service, but he's referring back to the Sunday morning prior to this, a week before he was laying in bed there. And he said, and I looked around and I was laying there fixing to get up. It was about 7 o'clock. I said, I believe I'll go down to church this morning. If I am hoarse, I'd like to hear Brother Neville preach. So I said, are you awake, honey? And she was sleeping very soundly. And I don't want you to miss this. It has changed me. I can't be the same Brother Branham that I was. He's laying there thinking, I'm going to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to get up and go to church and hear Brother Neville preach. And all of a sudden he begins to hear, Lord, let me look past the curtain of time. Now, you know, for most of us, we think of this and we're so super spiritual that we think that Brother Branham had this catching away, you know, of going beyond the curtain of time. And so it was so supernatural that one of two things must have happened. Either he rushed down, kicked open the tabernacle door, ran in shouting and screaming and told everybody right then and there, or he must have went up on a mountain somewhere and got away to himself and just had, because the presence of the Lord was there so strong, he just wanted to be by himself. But that's not what he tells us. He went on down to church and listened to Brother Neville preach that morning, and he waits a week to come back and tell the people about this experience. The Rejected King, 1960. And if any of you was here last Sunday and heard that marvelous message that he brought on the crucible oil, it was out one of the most outstanding messages I ever heard was what Brother Neville brought by the Holy Spirit last Sunday to this little herd of sheep that God has gathered together. Amen. Well, sometimes we think and we figure it out and it must be this and it must be that. And sometimes the fact of it and the way that it actually is so much more simple what God's wanting us to do than all that we could ever try to figure out. The third Exodus, 1963. Now, Brother Neville, if you got a message for tonight, preach it. See, it won't take me about an hour and 45 minutes, and I'll tape the rest of it. I like to listen to Brother Neville. I love him. He's my brother, and I think he's a marvelous speaker, wonderful minister. Now, when he goes to preach the Hebrews series, when you go and you get the Hebrews book and you begin to look through Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 2, you know, on down through there, Hebrews chapter 7, part 2, Hebrews chapter 6, and questions and answers on Hebrews and all this, you won't find any sermon titles by Brother Neville in there. But while Brother Branham was actually preaching the Hebrews series, if you go back and actually study the Hebrews series, him and Brother Neville were preaching these services tandem to one another. And if Brother Branham was there, Brother Branham would preach a Hebrews series portion, and then if Brother Branham couldn't be there because he was out of town or studying or sick or whatever, then Brother Neville would pick it up and preach a portion of it, and then when Brother Branham came back in town, he would pick that up. Now, I'm not just speculating that. We're going to read it out of the Hebrews series. Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, part 1, 1957. And Brother Neville will probably take up where I left off for the Wednesday night service. Again, Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, part 1. Now, last Sunday or last Wednesday, Brother Neville in here in the fifth chapter hit some very high places because it's a wonderful chapter. And we find him dealing on the fourth chapter last Sunday on the Sabbath and the keeping of the Sabbath. Again, Hebrews chapter 6, part 2. And now, last Wednesday night, Brother Neville hit on the finishing chapter of the supreme deity and the priesthood of our Lord Jesus. Again, Hebrews chapter 6, part 2. Then I'll have to answer questions. And if I can't get them, I'll say, Brother Neville, what do you think about that? I'll say, there he is. Let him answer it. Brother Neville says, then I'll read the Greek. Brother Branham says, then is when he's going to read the lexicon, get the Greek out. I think it's time for me to do also. Now, was he just joking? Was he just being nice? Or did he really feel that way about Brother Neville? Amen, that they were walking in such accordance and in such love and in such yielding of the Holy Spirit that Brother Branham said, now, if I can't answer it, I'll just turn around and say, Brother Neville, what do you think? There he is. Let him answer it. Now, I know some people don't believe that and won't believe it, but it's what he said. So either you can just make that just a little fib that he told or just him being kind, or you can just take it like we would the seals or the thunders or anything else that he said. Hebrews chapter 6, part 2. Now, we're closing. Then Brother Neville will pick up where I leave off. Again, Hebrews chapter 7, part 1. And the nights that I miss, Brother Neville will be here to pick it right up if I'm out. Questions and answers on Hebrews, part 1. If I don't get to take them, Brother Neville will finish the questions. Will you, Brother Neville, for Sunday morning? Again, questions and answers on Hebrews, part 3. And I only trust that God will bless us tonight like he did this morning with the message of this morning. Oh, I wonder what good sermon Brother Branham preached that morning. And I was just talking to my neighbor, Mrs. Wood, a while ago, and we were discussing it, and Mr. Wood and them, and I believe that was Brother Neville's best sermon. Out of all the fine ones he's preached, that was the one that was better to me than anyone he's ever preached yet. I certainly did admire and appreciate that wonderful sermon, and it gave me courage, and it trimmed me down, so I like to admit the truth, you know. He wasn't just being nice, he's admitting the truth. You say, why on earth, Brother Nathan, are we going through all these quotes about brother Neville, brother Neville, brother Neville? Because I'm trying to show you. Here, Brother Branham was preaching a series, the Hebrew series, and he's in town sitting there on Sunday morning, and he has Brother Neville to preach. And he turns around and says, I just hope tonight that the Lord blesses us as much as he did this morning. The best sermon I ever heard Brother Neville preach, and it did me good, and it trimmed me down, and I just like to admit the truth. By faith, Moses, 1958. And I thought maybe if I got Brother Neville to speak this morning, I'd try tonight. Questions and Answers, 1961. And now, Brother Neville, I found out it's only about 900 and something miles over there. I'm not going to leave until Monday morning, but I want to be here Sunday for Sunday school. I'm coming as your guest to listen at you preach, you see, Sunday. Beyond the Curtain of Time, 1961. All right, Brother Neville, I'll sit here and listen at you preach. Testimony of a True Witness, 1961. They asked me if I was going to be here tonight. I'm aiming to hear a good preacher tonight if I can, Brother Neville. But I aim to come on every communion night. I think it's our duties as much as we can. Now, it's the Wednesday night crowd, or I'd stop and preach that real hard. But I think most of you all are communion night people too. So we'll just leave that alone, and maybe somebody will pick it up online and get the hint, you know. Brother Branham said that he wanted to be there and he felt like he should be there. So I feel like if he needed it, we sure must need it. Revelations chapter 5, part 2. Well, I don't feel to taking both services, you see. I take one and Brother Neville takes the other. A shame, 1965. And then I ain't going to take Brother Neville's service tonight. I'm going to rest tonight and listen to him. A True Sign That's Overlooked, 1961. I'll be down tonight to hear my brother if it be God's will. I don't want to take both of his messages. Mark of the Beast, 1956. Our most dearly honored and beloved Brother Neville will be speaking, I suppose, tonight. I'm to be here myself, the Lord willing. Again, a True Sign That's Overlooked, 1961. But Brother Neville and I, we're just that way. If I come down here just to speak sometime and something like that, and Brother Neville had a message from God, I'd sit right down, yes, indeedy. I'd give place to the message of God always, see? And that's the way we do each other. Now, I don't have time tonight to read you this whole quote, but if you get a chance, go back. This is at the end of A True Sign That's Overlooked, 1961. It's about 5 minutes, probably, that Brother Branham begins to talk about this, and he goes into much more depth, and he begins to ask Brother Neville, now, Brother Neville, if it was this way, wouldn't you do that? Yes, Brother Branham. Well, and if it was that way, I'd do that. He's talking about how their relationship to one another. He said, if I came and I was just coming to speak and really didn't have anything burning on my heart, but just coming down to greet the people and see what the Lord had for us, and Brother Neville came out and said, Brother Branham, I got something burning on my heart from the Lord. He said, I'd give place to the message of God. And he said, he'd do the same thing for me. Many times, Brother Neville would be sitting there. Brother Branham, one of the 903 quotes I read this week. Brother Branham said he walked into Brother Neville's study. He called it Brother Neville's study. And he walks in there to Brother Neville's study. And Brother Neville's sitting there writing some notes down. And he said he just folded the note over and put it in his Bible. And he said, well, Brother Bill, you got something for us tonight? And Brother Branham went out and preached that night. He said, it reminded me of a little black church that I used to go down there. And he said, I'd slip in after they was already singing, you know, to try to hear the brother. And he said, the brother would stand there and say, I just began to remember. He said, rest your hat, elder. He said, he'd always say, rest your hat. And he said, I was just asking the Lord, said, what are you going to give me tonight to feed the people, Lord? And he said, I ain't going to give you nothing. He said, what, Lord? He said, you ain't going to give me nothing. He said, then I saw Brother Branham step in back there. He said, I think the Lord wants him to speak for us. What is it? The leading of the Holy Spirit. The leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, Brother Branham would be humble, and he would make statements like, you know, he'd be out there with men, you know, maybe more well-known than him or whatever it would be. And he'd say, now, the Christian businessmen's conventions and things, he'd say, now, I'm just a spare tire. And he said, now, we don't have any flats, but he said, we're just going to roll the spare along a little while tonight. Now, I'm sure there were many, many, many times when Brother Neville or Brother Collins or Brother Capps or some of these brothers would be standing there, and a little humble prophet sitting on a leather chair behind them, that they sure felt like a spare tire. What on earth am I doing up here? Why am I preaching? This packed church tonight didn't come to hear me preach. They came to hear this man preach. And here he is sitting behind me. And Brother Branham's sitting there amening and jotting down notes for 15 sermons. Amen. We have to recognize sometimes it's not big I and little you. It's what would the Holy Spirit want for us. True Sign That's Overlooked again. I just love to hear him preach. I heard, how many heard him last Sunday night? Such a wonderful message. I tell you, it tied right in with what was said in the morning. Again, 10 virgins and the 144,000 Jews, 1960. Now, Brother Neville, I'll tell you what I'll start on this little class, and if I get through about 11 o'clock, okay, you take over and start preaching. How's that? Brother Neville says, yes, don't disturb the anointing any, just go on ahead. He said, oh, I believe the anointing's back here too, anointing back here also. Sirs, we would see Jesus, 1961. I told him tonight, usually it's my custom to go to church somewhere on Sunday if I possibly can. Now, I know a lot of people have got away from that in the message, but this is what the prophet of God said, whether they like it or not. He said, I told him tonight, usually it's my custom to go to church somewhere on Sunday if I possibly can. Today, this morning, I wanted to come down real bad and hear Brother Neville's message. Again, Christianity versus idolatry, 1961. Brother Neville teaches the same thing I do, so just come right on to church and listen to the word. Revelations chapter 4, part 3, 1961. I trust that you'll be faithful now and come to church and obey the teachings of the Bible through our gallant brother here, Brother Neville, which I highly recommend as a servant of the Lord God and moving on deeper and deeper with God. And I'm so happy for that. Ordination 1962. We want to assemble and gather ourselves together. We want to sit under the teachings of our brother here, Brother Neville, and partake of the things that's of God. As he finds them from God, he gives them out, and we want to learn of God. And seeing the day approaching, we must assemble ourselves more oft together. We must love in our hearts to come to church. If we don't love church, love God, coming together, what we call church is coming together to worship, see. If we love Christ, we worship again. You don't just come on Easter. You don't just come on Christmas. If you love God, there's something in your heart. You want to come and worship again. Amen. And again and again and again. Amen. Amen. This is what he taught us. Come and sit under the teachings of our brother, Brother Neville. As God gives it to him, he gives it right out to us. Oh, now this is only about 5 pages of the 25 that I narrowed down from the 903 quotes, which would have probably been about 350 pages. I don't know how many. But this is just the highlights of what he says about this man and his ministry and how he felt like he was anointed and led of God over and over and over again. Dozens upon dozens, not once, not twice, dozens of times, he says in our prayer, God bless our pastor, Brother Neville. He tells the people, he says, I'm not the pastor or just the only pastor. He said, I'm a pastor of the church. Brother Neville's a pastor of the church. These other brothers, associate ministers and things. What was it? There was no pride. There was no jealousy. There was no competition for big me and little you and all this. It was a true love and a brotherhood and a worship of God together, that whatever the leading of the Lord was, if they could just get in the mind of Christ, then there would be no reason for jealousy, because Christ would come and tell them both, this is what I'm leading for the service. Right. This is how you realize God always works on both ends of the line. Amen. And if Brother Neville and Brother Branham, which as far as I can tell, they were like this, but you know, if there were times that the enemy tried to get in and upset them, I don't think that there would have been, but if there would have been, if they could have just stepped back and realized, what is the leading of the Lord for this service, then there would have never been any slamming of the notes down. Well, I studied for 14 hours this week, and no, God would be working on both ends of the line. Maybe Brother Neville sitting there thinking, Lord, I've studied, and I've beat my head against the wall. I've listened to tapes of Brother Branham, and I've read through the scriptures. I've read through the concordances. I've read through the dictionaries, and I don't have nothing for tonight. What on earth am I going to do? And all of a sudden, the door opened to the study, and Brother Branham stepped in. Brother Neville, how are you doing tonight? Are you tired? Do you need any help? He'd say, oh, thank you, Lord. Or vice versa. What was it? Working together for the same purpose, the perfect will of God. That shouldn't just be for the prophet and Brother Neville. That should be for the body of Jesus Christ. That whether you're the song leader or the Sunday school teacher or the deacon or the trustee or just a lay member on the pew, whether you're the pastor or an associate minister or a guest minister or whatever you are, don't try to show what some great something you are. See what you can do to help the whole body. Amen. When I go out of town and evangelize for other churches, I don't try to go in and think, I'm going to show this church what a real pastor is. I'm going to make this guy look so much like an idiot that they'll never want to hear him preach again. They all want to pack their bags and move to New Albany from wherever they're at. I go in with the motive of, I want to help this church. I want to encourage this church. I want, when I walk away, for them to be happier than they was when I came, for the pastor to be encouraged, for the people to be encouraged, for them to want to get behind and support the church more than they ever was. If not, what are we doing? What are we doing? We're wasting our time. We're beating at the air. But the purpose should be, what is the will of God for our lives, for our families, for our church? Get in the turn and pull together. Amen. We'll get a lot further down the road than if one's pulling this direction and one's pulling that direction, one's pulling this direction, one's pulling that direction. We're all just pulling against each other. But when we can all put our backs and our shoulders to the wheel and say, let's go, let's push it this way. And another guy up there in front, I'm pulling it, and this guy, I'm pushing it, and this guy, I'm scooting it, and just everybody working together in the same direction. Doesn't matter what your part is. Just get in the channel of God. Amen. Somebody say, well, I don't have as big a part as Brother Layton or Brother Joel, and I guess I'm just not anybody. No, get in the turn and pull. Your pulling matters just as much as theirs or mine or anybody else's. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. That was quicker than you thought, wasn't it? Amen. If the musicians would come, quicker than I thought too. I expected Brother Hoover to speak up and say, it's a shame, brother, cutting it off like that. Amen. No, we want what the Lord wants. Amen. No reason to drag it on longer if we got the point across that the Lord was trying to help me to get across, I believe. But, amen, God bless you tonight. I am, as far as I know, maybe we'll get off of some of this. We may still be on spiritual abuse, but I think I'm past most of the cults and the Brother Neville and all that stuff for a little while. So maybe you can come and just relax next Wednesday night. Amen. Bring you one of those neck pillows like you wear on the airplane. Just relax and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this together. Amen. Is this your desire tonight?
Oh, I want what you want for me, dear Lord, whatever, wherever it may be, 'cause I know that you what's best, my Lord? Oh, I want what you want for me. Yes, Lord. Oh, I want what you want for me.
Why don't we slip up our hands tonight if that's your desire?
Oh, what you want for me, dear Lord, whatever, wherever it may be, 'cause I know that you know what's best.
Whatever it be, Lord.
Oh, I want what you want for me.
Let's sing it again together tonight. Why don't you just yield to him?
Oh, I want what you want for me. I know that you know
pray that softly. Amen. Sister Tina's nephew, Jared, the doctors were trying to determine, running tests and things, determine whether it was viral or bacterial meningitis. And they were saying one thing at one point and another thing at another point. But I just got this note, said, Jared, my nephew, was projected to be in the hospital with meningitis for several weeks with no discharge date in sight. He was released today, weak but doing much better. He had viral meningitis, but God healed him. Thank you for all your prayers. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. He's still a healer. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight as they play that softly. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Father, for the testimonies that have come forth tonight of your healing power. How that you're still on the scene. How that you're still performing miracles. How that, Lord, when the doctors looked, they thought he'd be in the hospital for weeks, and now they can't find a trace of this disease in his body or sickness, Father. Lord, what a mighty God that we serve. Lord, we thank you for your healing power. Lord, we thank you when little Ethan's sitting back there that his hand's been paralyzed his whole life, couldn't pick things up, and now all of a sudden beginning to pick up objects, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Lord, for these prayer requests that we have, Lord, for the ones needing continued recovery, Lord. The requests you heard tonight and others on our hearts, Lord, for little Peyton, Father. And for, Lord, for Connie Dalton, our sister, and the different ones, Lord, that are recovering and progressing, Lord, for Ethan and the different ones that they've received a partial healing, but we're expecting a complete healing. Lord, I just ask that you'd move on the scene for them tonight. Lord, for us in our own lives, Father, help us to continue to yield to you, Lord. Whatever you would have for us, whatever you'd have us to do or to say, help us not to get complacent and say, well, I did something for the Lord last week and it was a pretty big deal. But Lord, each day, may we seek you for what you would have us to do, where you would have us to go, who we could be a help to, who we could be an inspiration or an encouragement to. Lord, help us to serve you so unselfishly, Lord, that no root of bitterness or jealousy would ever creep in, Lord, but that our true desire would just be, Lord, whatever you want is what I want. Lord, whatever you want for the services, whatever you want for the church, whatever you want for my family, whatever you want for our finances, for our health, for our condition, Lord, whatever it would be, Lord. Lord, what you want is what we want. We want your perfect will for our lives. Oh, Lord Jesus, may you just continue to change our hearts into the image that you had of us from before the foundation of the world. We love you tonight, Jesus. We thank you for your mercy and your grace to us. Thank you for the word, Lord, that you sent to balance us out. When we would try to lean too hard one direction or the other, Lord, the word would come around and balance us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit coming and changing us from what we were to what we are, and continuing just to mold us closer to you. Less of us, Lord, and more of you is our desire tonight, we pray. Thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Let's stand together tonight while we sing this together. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God I know he is. Oh, all of heaven and earth adore. His people bow before him. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Oh, let's sing it to him tonight. Just worship him. Oh, what a mighty God I know he is. We know that you are. What a mighty God I know he is.
We worship you, Jehovah.
him to be my pilot, his word my compass and guide, until I've anchored safely in glory.
Not up here, but after a message like that, I feel like it would be appropriate if I just, I think I speak on behalf of all of us, how thankful we are for a godly pastor who puts the word before us. There's so many of those quotes where I believe I could insert Brother Nathan's name for the times he's encouraged, lifted us up, and taken hours and hours of his day to study, and I know that he follows the leading of the Lord, and he's a true man of God. We're blessed, so we should be thankful for a godly pastor. Brother Nathan, we appreciate you.
Amen. Oh, I've been changed. I have been reborn all my life. It's been rearranged. Oh, what a difference it made when the Lord has His way all my life. Praise God, it has been changed. Well, I've been changed. I have been reborn, all my life has been rearranged. And what a difference it makes when the Lord has His way all my life. Praise God, it has been changed. Well, I've been changed. Yes, I've been.
Bless you, saints. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.
Oh, I've been changed. Well, I've been changed. Oh, I have been reborn all my life. It's been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way all my life. Praise God, it has been changed. Oh, I've been changed. been.